This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan. Tom Needed with the crown topic of the day. 2 hours ago, we started the show. We talked about the Mets losing yet again in Atlanta in September in games that they have to have. For me, BT, whether it's the weather that is playing a factor here with how these games get played tonight, tomorrow, potentially, or just in general, the way the Mets looked, they are in, to me, for the first time, in real trouble here. Looking at Chris Sale tonight, assuming that game gets played, potentially doubleheaders coming over the weekend if they can't get out and get to Milwaukee in time. The Mets, last night after what happened, I feel like they're, for the first time, in some real trouble with 5 games to play.
Okay, so if they would have lost last night to the Nationals, would you be saying the same thing?
Probably not.
Okay. If they lost to the Cubs or the Pirates or anybody other than that team, would you be saying the same thing?
No, because I think it's about that team. I've told you this. Almost even more than going to the playoffs, and don't take this literally, but almost more than going to the playoffs, I want to see them beat this team for once. Everybody kept saying the same thing. Oh, the Mets are better than they were in 2022. It's a different, you know, chemistry right now. The Braves are down. They're not as good. This is a time when the Mets, all they have to do is win 2 out of 3. You don't have to sweep. You're not playing from behind. You win 2 of 3, just like they had to do in 2022. Just win 1. They couldn't do that. Win 2 out of 3 against this team. You took 3 of 4 from the Phillies, who were better. You beat Zach Wheeler. You did it without Lindor. 2 of 3 from Atlanta, and you're in the postseason. It'd be storybook. You finally slay the dragon. And they get off on the wrong foot. Harris looks like a superstar. Ozuna can't get out. Olsen, same thing. Mets are making mistakes all over the place. Nobody's hitting outside of Vientos. The feeling I had after watching that game last night, it wasn't just a loss.
Yeah.
I think they're in trouble.
Well, they were sloppy, you know, and when you add up the things in the game and then you stack it on the House of Horrors and the rivalry and all the other stuff, I can understand that some Mets fans are a little uneasy perhaps today.
Yeah.
You got to get through it, dude. You gotta get over it. I mean, otherwise, we wasted a whole hell of a lot of airtime talking about these resilient Mets, these feisty Mets, these tough Mets. I mean, listen, I don't know, except maybe the 98 Yankees. I mean, you take like maybe the best Warriors team. Like, how many journeys to a championship? And I don't think the Mets are getting to a championship. I'm not even sure if the Yankees are getting there. But I certainly don't think the Mets are going to get to the World Series, though I do think they get to the playoffs here. How many journeys are linear? I mean, very few. You're going to be dealt a bad card, a bad call, you know, an injury. And you've had all those so far, whether it's Senga, whether it's Lindor. A couple of cheap hits last night. Albies, Laurinaitis, 9 hoppers to right field. Now, the Mets had 4 hits. They had an error. Severino airmailed the ball to right field on the swing and bunt that really Alvarez probably should have gotten, or at the very least gotten out of his way. Is one game, you got 5 to go. Every time the Mets have gotten knocked down, this group of Mets have gotten back up, and I expect them to do the same.
And they're going to have to. They're going to have to do it one last time. So far, it has not been enough. There's no wiggle room here. They're going to have to do it, and they're going to have to do it against a team that has been their nemesis. Now, the one thing is Arizona lost again last night.
Oh, they're done. Dude, they are spiraling.
And I don't get into fan graphs at all, but they're saying that right now the odds are the Mets and Braves both in the postseason.
Wow.
And the Diamondbacks would be out. Yeah, well, fan graphs. Kiss my ass. Sal Graphs had that 2 weeks ago.
Fan graphs.
Yeah, common sense would tell you that one of those teams, I thought Diamondbacks or Padres, one of them would fall off and both the Mets and Braves would get in. Now, who knows? We see it play out here, but Bottom line is the Mets are in a good spot still. I just feel like BT now all of a sudden went from a two-game cushion and, hey, take two out of three from Atlanta and get last night because you got Chris Sale and the bad weather looming. Mm-hmm. And not only did they lose last night, they looked lifeless in doing so. Now who knows? And now that two games is just a tiny one game against a team that has owned you down the stretch. To me, they're in some real trouble. BT and Sal and the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Islam is calling from Secaucus. What's up, Islam?
Hey, how's it going, guys? First time caller, long time listener. I'm thinking this rain delay, this postponement is going to be good news for the Mets. Because instead of versus Friday and Sale, two possible Cy Young guys, we're going to get probably Morin or the same guy that pitched yesterday. Could be a lot easier for Mets to win. Because if they were to play yesterday, this week, we'll probably be looking one game back. They would have sweeped us easily with those two pitchers.
Oh, my God. So, all the equity's already dried up from the season, isn't
it? It's the Braves, I'm telling you.
I understand who they're playing. I understand the history.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, you got... I understand the fragility. I'm a Jets fan. I do. With the Jets and the... I get it, but... I mean, listen, if this was my team, I would be delivering the unkillable speech for the Mets.
Yeah. I'm not there. I can't do it.
Not.
Now, again, they've been resilient. They've earned that. They haven't shown it yet. They've proven everything you can possibly prove in a regular season. Whether you want to minimize it or not, sweeping the Yankees, to me, is a big deal. And I think a lot of Mets fans as well. Yankees are the barometer in this town. They're the be-all-end. And I know the Yankees aren't the same team now that they were then. But still, the Mets, in really what was one of the more non-competitive Subway Series in its history, sweeping away the Yankees in four games, showing resiliency, whether it's the 0-5 start, whether it's 11 games under 500, dealing with the loss of your ace with one of the better bullpen arms and Brooks Raley being out, Edwin Diaz getting suspended, Alvarez getting hurt, Alonzo McNeil underperforming, Nimmo being inconsistent.
Marte hurt.
Yeah, they've overcome the tough West Coast trips, tough losses, the Hawk Tua game. Like, they've overcome a lot. The one thing left that they had to prove is look this Atlanta team in the eye when they're going head-to-head for the same spot and beat them. And by the first game, it was...
Well, yeah, I get it. I mean, I know that they lost the game, and so far they played 11 times, and so far the Braves have won 6. Now that gets into the tiebreaker, but it's not like it's 9-2 or 10-1. It's not so distorted this year where... You know, I think it's beyond the Mets' capabilities to regenerate here. I don't know. When I walked out of the stadium, I want your opinion. I'm going to give you mine real quick, though. When I walked out of the stadium Friday night, again, we were there, me, you, and Hoff, and Gallo, good time. Mets fans were great. Place was popping. Mets played awful. But when I walked to my car and I listened to the end of the game with 880 with Howie, part of me was saying, oh, boy. This just feels the way Pete whiffed with the bases juice, the pop-up. They got smoked. Ottavino throwing gas on the fire. In my mind, I'm saying, if this team's going to run out of gas, unfortunately, I thought there was a chance that was the night that was going to, like, the impetus
Wheeler
behind
looming
there.
Sunday, it's the
and
Phillies.
And then what do they do? Win.
Yeah.
Against the Phillies.
Okay, now, to be fair, and that's totally understandable, I did not feel like that.
You didn't?
No.
You thought they were going to come back and play well?
No, I'm not saying that they would win 3 out of 4, but I didn't think that losing that night, or even if they lost one of the next 2 days, was, to me, and I've been saying this for months, it was always going to be about what they did in Atlanta.
But you also included Philadelphia in that conversation.
Yeah.
You said
right, but they could've...
more emphasis on the Braves in your defense, but you're like, I want to see Philly, I want to see the Braves.
Yeah, and the fact
that
they...
Well, you saw Philly won 3 times.
The fact that even in the series that they lost 2 out of 3 when they played Philly when Lindor got hurt, I still thought they showed enough in that to compete with Philly. And then they took the game from Philly on Thursday night. So that bad loss Friday, I'm thinking, all right, well... they'll probably go get one of the next two. Like, I didn't feel like, uh-oh, it could be happening. I thought they'd get one of the next two. They won both of the next two, which was great, but it was a little surprising. But I never felt like, uh-oh, here we go. I haven't felt that really all year long because there wasn't an uh-oh. It was they're dead to a complete revival. This is the first uh-oh. I think they're in some real trouble here. Andrew is calling from Bay Ridge. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, what's up, guys? I couldn't agree with you more, Sal. But I do appreciate BT's, positivity here. So, you can't help but feel snake bit. Like, it was a total role reversal of, like, all the bounces we were getting and the big hits. And it just was all happening for the Braves. Like, we're hitting everything to where their players are, and they're hitting everything to where our players are not. And then when Iglesias runs into the ball in the first at bat, I just, like, it was just such a bad feeling. Like, oh my God, like, this is how it's going to go. And
Hold on a sec, Andrew. Now, I know what you're talking about there.
I thought so too.
You guys really. He was. He was barely out of the box, and obviously, if you're out of the box, you're out. If you're in, you're safe. For those who don't know, the 1%. Your mind went there that early?
My mind went there that early. Oh. My mother-in-law is sitting on the couch, and I banished her to the basement. I was like, "Get out of here!" She was like talking.
Surprised you
talking
let her up
during the game. I'm like, "Get out of here!" And then also, I just want to add, I will never
see move. I like
a calzone. I will never see a calzone the same. You're talking about going into a bathroom with a calzone.
Get out of here, Andrew. Oh, my God, that's pretty brazen. Get out of here.
Don't let BT's bathroom and eating habits let you ruin your enjoyment of calzones moving forward.
Yeah.
A bag of chips is a lot different than a calzone.
That is true.
I mean, we can say that.
That is true.
Man, that is a power move right there. Tell his mother-in-law, get out of here.
Not even, like, hey, listen, get out of here.
I like
did
that
you
power.
Did you really think that? I didn't think that at all.
When I was listening to the game, because at that point I still wasn't home, I was listening to the game and I heard Howie call it. And normally what happens with Iglesias is he nubs a ball that gets by the pitcher, or he hits one a short and beats it out, like he'll get an infield single.
He's hitting 330.
Yeah, right. But he's doing it a lot with that. And I don't want to minimize what he's done. Obviously, he's hit with some power as well, but, you know, a lot of infield singles.
Yeah.
So in this particular case, of course, against the Braves to start the game,
he nubs
one out of the box, and he runs into it and gets himself out. Like, yeah, I went there and thinking, here we go.
All right. Now, contrast that to Harris's first at-bat. 9 pitches.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing, yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess when you start to juxtapose things like that, yeah, sure, you can stack them up and say, well, here was the first sign, here was the second sign, here was the third sign. I just didn't think that. I'm just like, oh, man. He wasn't totally out of the box by more, where I wanted to see his back foot. I'm like, he got out. Okay. I'm just checking. But, man, you guys are fragile.
It's that damn ballpark in that place. Bob is in Lindenhurst. What's up, Bob?
Thank God I'm not a Mets fan.
Yeah.
Bobby?
Hey, Listen, we've come this long, this way, and we came the hard way with injuries and this. I am waiting for Sale. I want Sale. If we can't beat the best, we don't belong there.
Finally.
And that's my motto. Listen,
he's probably the best pitcher.
Thank you. It was the best pitcher in the baseball, probably. If we beat him, we're going all the way, brother.
Let's take
care of him right now.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, but that's different, and thank you for the call, and we appreciate the positivity. That's different. I never said I don't want Atlanta or I'm running from Atlanta. What I said is I don't trust this team to beat Atlanta. It's great to say you want Chris Sale. Let's see them want Chris Sale and the Braves. Then let's see them beat Chris Sale and the Braves. Because last night against Schwellenbach, they made him look like Mike Scott circa 1986. They can't hit him, and you're worried about facing Chris Sale? Yeah, okay, you want them, I'm sure. Just like you want to face Olsen, and you want to face Harris, and you want to face Azuña. Well, how's that worked out for you? I want Pete Alonso to go out there and do damage against Sale. Yeah, me too. Guess what? I didn't see it. You want Pete Alonso to do well in his final homestand, potentially, as a Met. Guess what? It didn't happen. So it's different, BT. I'm not running from it. I'm not scared of the break. Like, I personally am not scared of anything. I believe that the Mets, while this may be a different group, have something to prove against that Braves team. They have to prove they can beat them. Philadelphia is better. Nobody's scared of Philadelphia. Mets took 3 out of 4 from the Phillies. They could beat them. I can't say that they could beat Atlanta. I haven't seen it yet.
See, you just said, and you said a few things there, but one of the things you said, and I jotted it down, you said, I just don't trust this team. I understand that.
Against the Braves.
Understood. But what you're really saying is you don't trust this franchise. You don't trust the organization. Because this team has earned trust.
Yes, but not against the Braves. They've earned trust.
Well, they played 10 games before last night. They split the season series 5 each.
Well, in this spot.
I'm playing the semantics game, admittedly, here.
No, that's fine.
But it shouldn't be you don't trust this team. You don't trust the Mets' history.
I don't think it's fair to compare the 99 result or 2001 to 2024.
Like, it's not, but no. I think you guys do that unintentionally.
No. To me, 2022 is fair to bring up. It's only 2 years ago, and a lot of the same guys. Yeah, you could say, well, it's a different manager. Okay, it's a different manager. the core pieces. Like, if I were to ask you who are the key pieces in the Mets lineup last night. Now, Lindor's not there, but he's going to be in there, you would assume, because he was going to play.
Yeah, I got you. Well, first of all, Iglesias, because if he's not hitting 330, Mets probably aren't in the playoffs.
Right. He wasn't
here. Vientos, if he doesn't have 25 home runs, he hit another one last night, they're not in the playoffs.
Let's keep going.
I mean, Alvarez, who has not had a great season, and they, for some reason, foolishly thrust him in that position a couple of years ago, but he wasn't a real piece of the team, truly.
Lindor, Lindor didn't play last night. Marte, I know, but he's still part of this.
Listen, we know McNeil didn't play last night. Bassett didn't pitch. Verlander didn't pitch. Scherzer didn't pitch.
DeGrom, whatever.
I get it.
No, it's Nimmo, Alonso. Hey, Pete, everybody made a big deal about Pete talking about, well, I want to celebrate. Well, guess what? You were a part of the losers in 2022 that got swept by the Braves and then ousted in the wild card round. He was a part of that. Brandon Nimmo, same thing. Like, you could talk about all the other pieces. Starling Marte was there. I don't think he cares. Starling Marte doesn't give a crap. He's another one, by the way. If this were different, like, Marte's got a lot of Glaber in him. Missing cutoff guys, lollygagging balls in right field. I've seen enough of Starling Marte.
Play Winker every night.
Enough of Marte.
Play Winker every night.
I would have Marte glued to the bench. I can't say it. I look forward to the days where Marte's gone. He's got good potential. I think he's a good dude. Yeah, he's just not my type of ball player.
One more year, right? That's it. One more.
They'll cut him and move on from him. They can't. Give me Tyrone Taylor all day.
Yeah.
That guy, he's a ball player. His head's in the game. He doesn't have the talent anywhere near the talent Marte has. I'll take Tyrone Taylor over Marte every day of the week.
That reminded me. So we were talking about Bader, and this is, again, a discussion down the road if the Mets get to the playoffs here. I would trust Acuña in center field. We talked about maybe putting Iglesias at third, putting Acuña at second, if Lindor can go. The fact that Bader didn't start last night tells you all you need to know.
Well, and also, we didn't bring him up. You're right, and maybe foolishly so, because we're talking about Acuña getting in there, but Tyrone Taylor could play center field for me any day of the week. So wherever you put him, left, right, center, the guy's a winner. Juan is calling from College Point. What's up, Juan?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Good show. Love hearing you guys on my way to work. Just want to make a little point. On Friday, I went to the game versus the Phillies. We got absolutely smoked. But that was just one game, and this is the same feeling I'm having right now. We versed Zach Wheeler the day after, Ranger Suarez the day after, and we killed the Phillies. So this is just one game. We got to keep up the positivity, and, we can do this. Let's go, Mets.
There you go. I like that. I'm also going to keep my consistent feelings. I did not go nuts after that Friday night game. I think it's great, BT. You were like, I don't know.
I was thinking it to myself. Right. I'm like, because I didn't know what was going to come Saturday and Sunday. I didn't expect them to win both of those games.
I
really didn't.
I like that. And then they proved to you, oh, you know what? They're not going away. So you have that same confidence now that, okay, it's just one loss. You can wash it.
Yeah, it is one loss.
For me, it's about this team. It's specific to Atlanta. That's it. So I like the positivity. You're right. Every step of the way, this team has proved to be resilient, even when they've been doubted by most. They've been resilient. They've got one more time to prove it, and this is going to be the ultimate toughest test. Can they get it done against a team in a place that they never get it done in a big spot?
888-808-1019 is the number. It's BT and Sal. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata Show. All right, this has been a treat, and I believe it is the third time we've had the great Susan Wolman on the show, Hall of Famer, one half of the dynamic duo for the radio booth, and Batman returned. He pulled up back to his Robin. Susan, BT, and Sal, how you doing today?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Awesome. So, listen, you work with somebody that long. I can't imagine there was any transitional period. How much fun did you have jumping back in with John?
We really did, and you kind of forget. And it took about 2 seconds. No, John was great. He was all. You know what they used to say about Billy? He's tanned and rested. Every time George brought him back, he had missed it, you could tell, and I thought it was great.
There is something about it, Susan. As I was driving home listening to you and John, it just felt whole and complete. I know, maybe it sounds crazy, or maybe you, being that you're the person who's providing the entertainment for so many, but it just felt like everything is normal. Okay, John and Susan together. Do you realize the impact that you and John have had together for 20 years, how it makes just people feel complete listening to you?
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, But that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
Guys?
I've seen it this year. I never really thought about it a lot because when it involves you, you don't really think about it like that. But I remember when, you know, growing up and listening to certain pairs of people that were on for 30 years, it means summer. It means when you were a kid. It means when you first fell in love with Yankees baseball. It's all of that. It's all very, very personal. And I think you just said it by now. We're totally John and Susan, wherever we go. And I was telling John when we were in Oakland, I've seen the same people in Oakland for all the years I've gone there. And that's a really long time.
Wow.
And everybody had said, you know, it's always John and Susan. And one family actually said to me, oh, we're so glad you're here to say goodbye. Didn't John want to come and say goodbye? And it really struck me when that family told me I'd watched their kids grow up because the same people sat in that stadium for all those years, and it used to be quite the place. But when they say John, and it's always John and Susan. It's not John Sterling, Susan Waldman. It's always John and Susan, and it's very, very personal to people. And think back when you're a kid. You know, think back when Bill White and Phil Rizzuto were on. That was many, many years of those people being your summer.
Ah, man, as you're saying that, I am thinking back, and I can see, you know, Messer and White and Scooter and the radio voices, and just flooded back with the amazing memories of being a young Yankee fan growing up. It's awesome. Listen, all the sports experiences that we have and how we consume stuff now is very different digitally, whatever it might be, streaming devices. But there's nothing more intimate pertaining to sports than listening to baseball on the radio still.
Right. Well, I agree with you. I agree with you. And there's still, I mean, they don't put little crystal radios under their pillows anymore. But whatever they're using, I mean, there's still little kids who go to bed and with the radio there, or whatever you use now to get that radio broadcast. It's the most personal of I think it is. It's the most personal of medium, and and there's no doubt about that. And I'm afraid we're losing that, and it makes me very sad because you look at some of the voices, and it was that voice that you remember going to sleep, and that was that voice you turned on. Even if the team was losing 10 to nothing, you always turned it back on just in case.
That is true.
Just in case.
Very comforting. Susan Waldman, BT and Sal. All right, so this is the opposite of comforting. What's going on with Cortez's elbow?
Well, that's a really good question, and we don't know any details yet because, you know, they don't exactly give out information unless you pull it out of them. But I don't know when this could have happened because I was talking to Nestor, and he was doing some interviews about with some of the local guys. It was after the clubhouse closed, so it was like 4:30, I guess, and to hear that he must have felt something when he went to throw because, you know, day before you loosen up, and he must have felt something, and he hasn't had an elbow thing. Last time he had an elbow thing was years ago, and it was called an elbow impingement, and we don't know the results of the MRI. Whatever it is, it's concerning, and really concerning, and you hope that it's nothing, but it doesn't sound like it is. Likely, Marcus Stroman will start tonight, or I know that Cody Petit is coming up, and he's been pitching down in AAA, and he is a starter, so they could start him if they want to, but it's more likely that Stroman will start tonight.
Susan, what did you think of Glaber last night?
Well, you know what? I mean, everybody's, and I've been watching him for 7 years. I mean, that's the kind of thing that, you know, everybody has their shortcomings, and that's one of Glaber's. And it's been for years now, and those are the kinds of shortcomings, and it's too bad because every now and then that will rear its ugly head, and it cost them yesterday. I would also like to know where Soto was going with Judge coming up, but it's all intrinsic into what is the base running, which has been cleaned up a lot from last year. Last year they were just horrid on the bases. It was embarrassing, and it's been cleaned up a little bit, but every now and then Glaber kind of thinks he's invisible, and just keeps going. And that's, but that's, and it's too bad because he actually has been for the last couple of months the team's best hitter. I mean, Judge notwithstanding, Judge has had his little lulls too. But Glaber also had three hits yesterday, and has been terrific. And all of a sudden, you just remember, there it is.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I wish he was invisible because sometimes I wish he wasn't out there to make these ridiculous mistakes. Now, we've talked about this, right? I get it. It's part of who he is. Doesn't mean that I have to accept it. I won't. That is a basic baseball play. Your point about Soto is accurate. Rojas said, tap the brakes. He tapped him. He wandered. He looked. Hey, it's one thing to make an out, to sacrifice an out for a run. You don't sacrifice a run for an out. Like, it's so backwards. It's almost, I can't trust him.
Yeah, it's unfathomable. And actually, when you look at it, what's happened, and it's just over and over, someone will make back, and it's usually Glaber.
Yeah.
And it's just part of it. It's not that you can, and I hear people saying, you know, the coaches should do something. Trust me, they have done everything with Glaber. They sit and they talk, and of course he comes up, and he comes out afterwards and says, it's on me, I made a mistake. But if you don't have that instinct, and I don't think it can be taught.
I was going to say, sometimes even with young kids, like I would rather take a kid who's really motivated and maybe a little overzealous. You can generally wind somebody down rather than wind them up if their personality doesn't fit or if you're not naturally funny, it's hard to try to be funny.
Right.
It's just not innately in him, which I understand, but man, how do you have confidence that that doesn't happen in October, Susan?
Well, but there you can't, but there's nothing right now, there's nothing you could do about it. I mean, it's not like you can, and everybody says, oh, you should sit him down. Like, really? Exactly? And who exactly is going to play there? And it's, you know, there's a lot of things that are going on. You can see what's going on in left field. Do you want defense out there or do you want offense out there?
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I mean, there are problems there, but, you know, but that's who he is. That's who Glaber is, and that's what we've seen since he's walked in the door.
Susan, what is your trust level with this Yankees team going into October this year?
It's not even a trust level because, as we've seen, they could beat anybody. Also, they could lose to anybody, and I think that's pretty much what's going on. Here's the thing that I've always thought about this team. I know all the flaws, and everybody, and all the guys that call you and you talk about all the flaws they've got, they're all there. You're absolutely right. However, who's better?
Yeah.
That's that other part of the equation. I mean, yeah, Baltimore won last night. You expect Baltimore to go, you know, to do this all the way through. Maybe they will. It's not a trust level because it's everybody has flaws. And eventually that Baltimore bullpen is going to get them.
Well, I guess just because of the inconsistencies, Susan, this year, I have a hard time. Like, the Yankees at their best look like they cannot be beat. We've seen that whether
absolutely.
It be April or
and
May.
And then they lose 2 out of 3 to the Washington Nationals, and you say, what are you looking at?
Yeah, right. And so that's why the trust level
it's
I have
everybody.
Issues. Yeah.
I think it's everybody. I mean, we all have issues with them. I could write them all down. I know exactly what it is. But here's the other, if you look at it with, they could beat anybody, they could lose to anybody. But who's better?
Nobody.
Who in the American? Let's start with the American League.
Nobody.
Yes, everybody has those problems.
Yeah,
the Cleveland Guardians went out and lost to people. I know they're winning now, but there's no team that you go, whoa, we better not have to play them.
You're right. Now, nobody knows what's going to happen, obviously, in the next month or so, but I look at the way I view this team as a baseball observer, as a Yankee fan forever. In 2022, when I was at the game, you know, against the Astros, one of the games, it just felt like lifeless, and I didn't believe they had a chance to do anything against the Astros. Even in the Guardians series, I had no conviction that they were going to finish the job, even though they did. Now, this year's different. I look at this team, unlike 2022, and I say, can they win? And my answer this year is yes. Like, I'm galvanized by the assets and the pluses. There's a couple of negatives, but I'm with you. Like, if they get there and win it, I will not be surprised this year.
Right. I wouldn't either.
Yeah. I got a crazy stat for you. I know you love stats. Susan Waltman, by the way. This is an awesome stat. This is a great one. So
there's a stat for everything in life.
There is. But listen to this one. Aaron Judge has 27 more RBIs than the second highest total in the American League. Just almost 30 more than Ramirez. Think about that. 30.
Yeah. Well, it means two things. It means, one, he's very good, and two, nobody else on this team scores, which is kind of scary. He's having a monster year. He has his little valleys, too, but he's having a monster year, and we're seeing one of those little uptrends right now.
You know, I don't know this, Susan, and maybe you could educate us, because you say there are stats for everything. Are there analytics in Broadway?
No.
So there's not stats for everything. That's why Broadway is so great. It's glorious.
Well,
there are no analytics.
I could find you some. I suppose anybody, I could make one up, but I'm sure you'll find it. Anybody who's done Hamilton 37,000 times is probably a star. There's a good stat. I just made it up.
Yeah.
And find someone to just prove it. Well, maybe there is now. I've been doing this for a very long time. My guess is they're not going analytically, because if somebody's voice has to move you, and there's no analytics for that.
You'd hope not. Hey, let's not ruin Broadway, too. Baseball's already being ruined. You have, how are you handling the potential champagne celebration tonight in the Yankee clubhouse?
Oh, no. I'm good at this. I'm good at this. I say anybody that touches me until the World Series, they will pay for it.
Oh.
So I'm pretty good. The only thing you have to do is have, I get a little, but I don't get full douse like Meredith.
Like Meredith, yeah.
And actually the one in, where did we just do the last one? I'm lost. Seattle, where were we? Wherever we were.
Yeah. I don't even remember. Yeah. Seattle sounds about right. Yeah.
Actually, Alex Verdugo said, I got you. And he got in front of me because someone was going to
split. Oh.
But now I bring a raincoat and I got my little rubber ducky boots. And
yeah.
It'll be fine.
Laying down that law. All right, listen, lay down a win for us tonight.
Okay, I have something. One more thing before we go. I said last month, I'm watching what's going on, and I said to Aaron Boone, I said, we're going to end up with Houston, aren't we? And it's going to be perfect. Is that going to be? It's going to be perfect.
I'm not sure
it's going to be perfect.
No, this is the year they could beat them. Although this is the year they could lose again. But this is the year they could actually beat them.
He wants that? Boone wants Houston?
Yeah, does he really want that?
I don't know what he wants. I do.
You do, huh?
Don't you, BT? Oh. Come on, you're going to run from it?
Dude.
You have to beat them.
You have to beat them to get there.
And make it sweeter. I'm with you, Susan. I want the Yankees. I want the Astros, too.
I don't want this little. What's the use if you're going through Cleveland? That's nice. It's a nice team. They could actually lose to Cleveland. But if you're going to get there. And they're in the right bracket. So it actually could work.
Please, the AL Central. Like, I mean, just disband the AL Central when it comes to the Yankees in the postseason.
I wouldn't mess around with the Tigers, the Scooble, at this point.
They actually do look pretty good.
Yeah, I wouldn't mess around with the Tigers right now. And that is probably the best story, because the front office traded away all of their veterans, and they forgot to tell the players and the manager that they're not supposed to win. And my guess is he used that as a rallying cry. And you have a guy like Scooble, you can do anything. That's a great story, what's going on in Detroit.
Did John give you any insight, Susan, into a potential Jazz Chisholm home run call?
No, he did not. Okay. But if I started singing all that jazz from Chicago, he would be the one person sitting next to me who knew exactly what I was doing.
Hey, I saw Chicago.
Yes, you did. Did you like it?
I did. I saw it on Broadway, and I saw it in Las Vegas. I believe at the Mandalay Bay.
Ooh.
Hey, I got a little culture, unlike my partner there, Susan. Come on.
I've seen Wicked.
Chicago's a great show, isn't it?
It was phenomenal.
Booker Moore, I haven't seen. Susan, what was the one you recommended I take my wife to see? I forgot. I got to write that down again.
Oh, gosh. I don't know.
Oh, you said it was good. Take your wife and see.
What did she say? Not Lion King. She
said six?
Yeah, six. That's exactly right. Thank you.
And I said, and if you don't want to, it's only 90 minutes, so you could sit there for 90 minutes even if you didn't like it.
Yeah, okay. Love it. All right, Susan. Well, hopefully you're celebrating tonight. Only the World Series. That's only where you get doused. You're not getting doused here for the division. None of that. Better not.
I
love it. We'll be listening, Susan. Of course, we'll be watching. Great to have you and John back. Have a great call. Good luck to the Yanks. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks, Susan.
I love talking to Susan. Really awesome. Put the smile on my face.
Been a lot of fun.
And I'll tell you, I just honestly, driving home last night, just feel, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I totally know what you're saying. Same with Howie and the Mets. Like, there's just familiarity.
Yeah.
It's comforting. You know, it's the same.
Yes.
It's like the same newscaster that you kind of trust, whatever, over the years. I mean, not so much the cable outlets, but like growing up, the same weatherman, like on CBS locally on Fox, whatever it might be. There's just, hey, he's kind of part of the fabric, and so is she, and so is John, and I wish they could do this forever. They can't, but right. We wish that they could.
Change is inevitable, but it is shocking when it happens at first, and we had that happen this year, but now it's back.
Yeah.
And I would just enjoy the hell out of it with John and Susan for this final stretch and on into the postseason, however long that lasts.
And, of course, if they can't do it forever, you know that I'll happily jump in and do some more games for them.
And I just want to do some football here for a second, BT, before we get back to the Mets. Of course, Yankees have a chance to clinch tonight. Mets, as of now, scheduled to play a game in Atlanta and a game where they're trying to rebound after losing last night. I don't know if you saw this yesterday. I did not. Apparently, there was an article on the Jets and the disarray that's going on.
I saw this, yep.
Okay, and he was asked about this. Rodgers was asked about this on Pat McAfee yesterday. This is how he responded.
How's everybody handling it?
I would say the culture is about the opposite of what that article said.
No.
I didn't read the article, but just reading that headline there, it sounds like it was written by Hassan Reddick's agent. in a way to... So former agent, I guess, possibly, in a way to try and disparage our great organization.
Whoa. So I did not hear that. First of all, what was the disarray article?
It was an older article.
Oh, okay.
Remember with the whole mini camp when he went to Egypt? There was nothing about like where the Jets are now.
Yeah. Oh, so he was there. Okay. I was going to say. Months ago. So we didn't miss it. It just happened months ago.
No.
So then is that even then relative to where he's at with Reddick now?
It's interesting that he put Reddick's name in his mouth. I mean, that's pretty rare where you kind of dip your toe into somebody else's business like that.
And he also alluded to, he said, former agent, possibly soon. So maybe he knows something.
That was interesting. Good. Whatever it takes to get him in, we need him.
Wow. How about Rodgers having to, he's not afraid of anything. And by the way, I'm listening to sound bites throughout the course of the day, like Rodgers meeting the media today. That clip was from McAfee yesterday, but meeting the media today, I don't know if I've ever been in love more with a New York sports athlete than Rodgers. The guy just gets it all.
He's so in charge. Now, sometimes, you know, and we've had these conversations, is he too in charge?
Yeah.
That's more of a above him thing.
It's not his fault Sal is inept.
And it's not his fault they gave him the power. I mean, if somebody bestowed that kind of power on me, I'd take it as well. As long as you don't abuse it. And he doesn't seem to abuse it. I think he's well-liked. I think from a football perspective, what's probably most appealing to me is that he just looked bouncy. He looked a little quicker than I've seen him look in a long time. I can't wait for this game against Denver.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Hop and I think you're going to go out there. I know you're going to be. You got all the trips going on. What's your next trip, by the way? You get the Steelers Sunday night. I know we were talking about that potentially.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that. It's traveling is a lot. Even going to these games like last Thursday night, you can't see what's going on necessarily.
Yeah,
it's hard.
So I go to a few a year. I don't want to go to every game.
I'm going to do the Giants tomorrow and then potentially the Jets on Sunday, and then that'll be a wrap for me. Every game will be at home. And we got the postseason baseball coming up. But, yeah, I thought it was interesting to hear Rodgers call out Reddick, or at least Reddick's agent there. Maybe it'll get things moving here because it'll be a nice jolt if and when they do get Reddick back. Right now, everything's going well for him.
Yeah.
And he was talking today about dealing with, not adversity, which the Jets have dealt with, but handling prosperity well. Something the Jets haven't dealt with. Rodgers dealt with
funny.
That. Yeah. But that'll be the toughest challenge for this team, handling prosperity.
I think it's a challenge for anybody. You know, number one, I think the toughest thing is to just elevate like a moribund franchise from just inadequate and inept to competent and respectable. That is a tough jump that is elusive for so many teams. I mean, hell, it's been elusive for the Jets for, 13, 14 years. Giants as well, outside of 2022. But then I think the even tougher, the bigger step, and this eludes so many, is once you become respectable and competent and competitive, how do you take the next step and deal with now the accolades and the expectations? And that's what he's talking about.
Nick is calling from Woodbridge, New Jersey. What's up, Nick?
Nick, what's going on, buddy?
Thanks for taking the call, guys. Just a quick Yankee point on Gleyber Torres. So I've been watching the Yankees for 31 years, as long as I can remember. There's not a more frustrating baseball player I've seen than Gleyber. And I know Verdugo had a bad game last night, but Gleyber crosses that game with another mental error that we see every week. They should bench him tonight, whether it's for Birdie or Waldo, whoever it is. But I hope that's the last mistake we see from Gleyber and Pinstripes, but it probably won't be.
Yeah.
And we had a chance last night to win that game with Judge or Wells up, and he totally...
Oh, we lost you there, Nick.
I mean, listen, they had a few. That was in the seventh inning. They had a few other innings to win the game. Doesn't help when you give up an absolute moonshot the next inning when all the momentum was gone and it goes from 4-3 to 5-3. They're not going to bench him. They're not going to bench him because they've shown no evidence that they're going to, you know, I know they did bench him for a minute this year, actually.
Yeah.
But over the years, they've allowed this to fester. And that's the biggest issue. That's my only, that's my biggest gripe with Aaron Boone. Because I've defended Aaron more than others. My gripes have been more on the Cashman stuff, as you guys well know. I don't understand how you can't drop this at Aaron Boone's doorstep. But like, we talked to Susan, and, you know, Boone talks about how he really just wants to be loved, and he really cares about the game, and he cares about the sport. I believe that, but all I'm not inside your head. I'm not a valve next to your heart. I don't see your heart ticking. I don't know what's in your heart. So all I can do is react to what you do on the field, and what you do too often is check out and be emotionally vacant. And that's a problem.
But benching him, to me, would make no sense. Why would you bench a player?
They're not going to bench him now because he's hitting as well.
What? But I'm saying, why would you bench a player in general?
Well, you bench him to send the message. Okay. They already did that, and he's doing it again.
Do you think benching Gleyber Torres?
No.
Oh, now I get it, coach.
No.
I can't do that.
Nope.
Like, there's nothing you could do. He is what he is. Yeah. You got to move on from him.
Ship has sailed.
They didn't do it, and now they're going to cross their fingers and hope it doesn't come back to bite them in the postseason. When it does, that it doesn't cost them a game or a series.
Sal, you've got one chance, whether it's as a parent or as a coach in this instance, during the formative years, really, to try to create a template of expectation, what's acceptable, what will not be tolerated. And the Yankees too often tolerated what should never be tolerated. And here he is, 27 years of age. He's not changing.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We come back. We'll have more of your calls, 888-808-1019. Also, we have to revisit for the final time, with just 5 games to go, where we're at with the BT and Sal over-unders. I actually don't know where it's at. I haven't looked at it. We're going to have hot take. I don't. I know where we were last time.
But you know. You kind of have a sense.
I don't. Have you looked it up?
I have a sense.
I look forward then to revisiting this when we come back.